9, 33 through 37. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Title of the sermons being number one, what we're going to really talk about this morning is being servant leaders, servants. Some of the things that I've been reading along with finding ways to grow the church, the common thread through all these things, fresh expressions, see all the people, some of these others, is we need to stop trying to fix the church. We need to start getting out and spreading the gospel. And to spread the gospel, we have to become servants of the community. There was a politician sitting in his little campaign headquarters one evening. Phone rang. He listened intently, and his face kind of brightened up. And after he got off the phone, he immediately turned around and called his mom, told her the good news. "Mom," he shouted, "the results are in. I won the election." "Honestly?" she asked. The politician's face kind of faded. "Oh, Mom, why did you have to bring that up at a time like this?" Honesty and trustworthiness. We talked about that last week, and confidence. But all in all, we all really want to be number one. We want to be winners. Nobody likes to be a loser. In fact, Vince Lombardi used to say, "Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing." Of course, now Vince Lombardi claims that he was misquoted, but it kind of makes sense in society today. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. And we've kind of taught our society that it's all about being number one. It's all about winning. You've got to be on top, no matter whose toes you have to step on to get there. And that's kind of sad. And Jesus is telling us it should be the other way around, that we should be servants of our society. And in being servants, we become great in the Lord's eyes. Joe Jacoby of the Washington Redskins made the comment once that "I'd run over my own mother to win the Super Bowl." That's awful. But then Matt Millen heard him say that, Matt Millen of the Oakland Raiders, and he said, "To win, I'd run over your mom too." It is a dog-eat-dog world. And we are, a lot of us, secular society especially, is willing to do whatever it takes to come out on top. President Lyndon Baines Johnson was a master at political power. And in a book that was written about him, she talks about something that he would commonly tell people about why he was the way he was. And he would tell people that his father would come into his room at 5 o'clock every morning, tweak his toes and shout at him, "Get up, Lyndon. Every other boy in town already has a head start on you." And because of that, he developed this philosophy, this way of being, of that political power that he had. Jesus and his disciples coming into Capernaum, we read this morning, got to arguing and discussing about which one of them was the greatest, which one was the most important of the 12 apostles. And of course, Jesus didn't look at it that way. Jesus looks at the 12 apostles, looks at us as equals. We are all equal in the sight of the Lord. Nobody really stands out among the other. He wants us to be servants of others so that he can see us as good and great people. And we're human. The disciples were human. The apostles were human. And it's just natural for us to want to kind of get ahead a little bit. Michelangelo used to pray the prayer, "Lord, grant that I may always desire more than I can accomplish." That's a pretty good philosophy. You should always set your goal a little bit further than what you really think you're going to get. And then you're going to really strive to get there. Abraham Lincoln, when he was young and reading and studying in front of the fire, used to say, "I will study and get ready, and perhaps my chance will come." And it did. He became president. We all know our previous president was a first, a president of color, and that was a great accomplishment. We all try to get ahead, to make great accomplishments. And Jesus wants us to be ambitious, but be ambitious in a good way. We want to do the right thing. We don't want to step on toes to get where we're going. He wants us to be strong and firm. He doesn't want us to be wimps as Christians. We are to be servant leaders, and we are to be proper in the way that we seek those things for Christ. We need to be proper in the way in which we build His kingdom. There was an experiment done at Princeton Theological Seminary a few years back. They took 20 seminary students and told them that they were needing to go to this recording studio that was nearby and make a tape recording of their interpretation of the Good Samaritan story. These 20 theological students, on their way to the recording studio, passed by this actor that they hired. This actor, as these students were walking past, would feign a heart attack and fall down on the lawn. And being the actor that he was pretty good at it. He looked like he was really having a heart attack. The sad thing is, the seminary students, 60% of them walked right by him. Even some walked over the top of him to get to the recording studio. And that's pretty bad. These are future ministers in a seminary. And they're getting ready to go interpret the Good Samaritan story, and yet they're walking over the top of somebody. That's pretty bad. We need to do better than that. We need to know what Jesus expects of us. We need to know the Bible. We need to be servants. We need to help others. We need to help others see the need for Christ. We need to help others see what they're missing in their hearts. We need to be servants to these people and show them the way. And I know in today's society, it's kind of hard to do sometimes. There's a comedian that laughs about how he was once mugged, beaten up, blackened and bruised, and someone asked him, "Why didn't you fight back?" His answer was, "Well, I started to, but decided not to get involved." And a lot of us, as human beings, use that excuse. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to serve people that are in need. We're afraid to hitchhike anymore. We're afraid to pick up hitchhikers if they happen to be brave enough to do it, because we might get knocked over the head. We don't stop and help people with the medical emergency because we're afraid we might get sued, even though I think all 50 states have a Good Samaritan law where you can't be sued if your intent was good in trying to help these people. We don't like to give money to the homeless person on the corner with the sign says, "I need help," because we're afraid they're going to go out and spend it on booze. We don't want to support people on welfare because we think to ourselves, they shouldn't have had so many kids. We rationalize not serving people. And some of those rationalizations may be legitimate. Down through the years, some of the things that have happened in society, we are generally afraid to pick up hitchhikers or help somebody on the side of the road or give money to the homeless person on the corner. Society has done that to us. But as Christians, we should be willing to help anyone with anything, because that's what Christianity is all about. It's being servants to the community. It's helping others. Time magazine ran an article quite a few years ago about a plane crash in Philadelphia. This plane caught on fire on the runway after it crashed. Well, there is a very attractive 24-year-old stewardess standing at the top of the escape door where they blow up the big slide and all that, and she's helping people get off the plane. She thought everybody was off the plane, so she was preparing to jump on the slide and get out of there when she heard somebody out on the runway shout out, "My baby, my baby." Apparently, this person had left their baby on the plane. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you forget your baby when you're escaping from a plane? But that's beside the point. So this flight attendant, this 24-year-old stewardess, went back into the plane. And unfortunately, that was the last time anybody ever saw her alive. When they finally got the fire out and the wreckage cooled where they could get in it, they found this stewardess laying on top of this six-month-old baby that she had tried to save. And now that's being a true servant. Even the Bible tells us if you give your life to save someone else, that is a great thing. And she did. And I'm not saying we all need to go out and die for somebody, but we need to have that kind of attitude where we're willing to do whatever it takes to serve others, to serve our community. Because service is what life is all about. If you think about your daily lives, your daily routine, you would much rather patronize a store that has great service, has friendly personnel, people that are willing to help you, even if the prices are a little bit more than the one up the street that the people wouldn't give you the time of day. We like service. And we should be willing to serve, because others like service too. There's a humorist talks about a supermarket and this young thief that was going to rob the supermarket. And he really didn't know how he was going to go about this. He didn't plan ahead very well. But he knew he needed to get into the manager's office. So he thought, okay, I'll file a complaint. So he went and knocked on the manager's door. And he asked him in. Even though the manager was putting the money in the safe, he invited him in. And then he didn't know what to say. He says, "I want to complain." And the manager says, "Okay, what did you need to complain about?" And still, like I said, he didn't plan very well. He thought to himself, "What am I going to say next?" He says, "You've got no coffins." The manager looked up at him and said, "It's a supermarket. Are you mad? If you want coffins, you have to go up the street to the funeral home." And kind of turned around and started to close the safe door. Well, the thief whacked him over the head. And after he kind of shook his head a little bit, the manager turned around and looked at him and said, "Okay, okay, I'll have some coffins in here tomorrow." That's a place where you'd want to shop. They have great service. I mean, that's what we look for. We look for great service in others, and we should have service to others as well. I mean, we honor people in our community that do great things, that have great service. We have these little ceremonies at the courthouse or wherever, honoring people that have done great things for the community. They have served their community. So it's all about service. If we expect to find ways to make this a vital congregation, to bring people into God's kingdom through our church, we have to be willing to become servants. Jesus was the ultimate servant. He was God who lowered himself to become man to be with us and save us. Now that's being a servant. There's a story of a prosperous farmer. A friend of his, an old high school friend of his, came out to visit him one day, and he was showing him around the farm, the cows and the pigs and the sheep. And this friend of his noticed that these were very well cared for sheep. And he remembered and commented to his farmer friend, "I think I've seen those sheep in the county fair winning blue ribbons." And he asked his friend, he says, "How do you do it? I've never seen such beautiful sheep." The farmer looked at his old high school friend and said, "They are fine sheep because I take care of my lambs." And that's another biblical kind of thing. Jesus tells us to take care of our lambs, feed our lambs, feed my sheep. He wants us to take care of one another. And if you take care of the young adults, the youth, then they become great sheep, Christians. And that's where our focus needs to be, is in our youth and our young adults. Because if we can get them interested in church, get them interested in God, there's no limit to what we can do for God's kingdom. Being servants to our young adults. Because like Jesus said when he pulled the child to him, anyone who welcomes this child welcomes me. And if you welcome me, you welcome my Father. And that's what it's all about. We think about this arguing about who's greatest. And all we all remember the story of James and John, the brothers that were so adamant about being the greatest that they wanted to be on the left and right of Jesus. And Jesus looked at them and said, "Are you willing to do what I'm willing to do?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." They didn't really know what they were getting into. They were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder because they had that kind of confidence and ambition to think that they could do what Jesus was going to do. There's a man named Wallace Hamilton who calls that the drum major instinct. That's that drive within us to be number one, and we do not need to apologize for that. That drum major instinct, that need inside of us to be number one. Larry Bird, we all remember Larry Bird, when he retired back in 1993, and they retired his jersey, hung it in the, how do you call it, the basketball heaven, if you will. They got all the jerseys hanging up in the air. And he gave a little speech. And in typical Larry Bird fashion, he was very humble about it. But he did make the comment, "I never put on a uniform to play a game. I put on a uniform to win." And those are great words to live by. And he truly meant that because he started out working on a garbage truck before he realized he was a good basketball player. And that's kind of where we need to be. We need to realize that we're in this not just to try and grow the church. We are in this to win for God. And to win for God, you have to be a servant leader. Sports Illustrated tells of a small school in Oregon, Dayville High School, who had a string of 65 victories, women's volleyball. And the neat thing about this was there was only 18 young ladies in this school. 16 of them on the volleyball team, one that was keeping score. I'm not sure where the other one was. But they lost one after this 65-game winning streak. They lost one. But then the next one, they won. So rather than say, "Well, we blew our winning streak," they came back and said, "Well, now we have a winning streak of one." And that's attitude. That's the kind of attitude we need to win. We need to have that kind of confidence. I mentioned earlier that Christians are not wimps. Most people will read the Bible and think, well, we're supposed to be humble to the point where we just kind of cower down. That's not what Jesus says. We're supposed to have humility, yes, but we're also supposed to be strong for God. We should be willing to risk our lives for those things that we believe in. That's why James and John were called the sons of thunder, because they had that kind of ambition. Peter was so strong in his faith that he tried to take on the Roman garrison when they came to arrest Jesus. That's the kind of person we need to be as Christians. Christianity does not mean we are to turn into Casper Milquetoast. We aren't supposed to be wimps. We are supposed to be strong in what we do. We are supposed to have that drum major instinct for Jesus, because we can make a big difference if we do. We should live such a life that when our time comes, the undertaker is even sad. That's the kind of life we should lead. We should be willing to serve the community, serve the church, serve wherever we are needed. And that's the key to greatness. Jesus, Paul tells us in Philippians, though he was in the form of God, became man and took upon himself the form of a servant. I mentioned that a few minutes ago. He even washed the feet of his disciples. He gave himself for us. We should be willing to do the same kinds of things. Henry Dunant, I don't know if you know the name, he was the founder of the Red Cross. He was a great humanitarian. But as his fame spread, somehow he went bankrupt. And because of this, the public turned against him. He lived for years in the slums of a big European city, wearing ragged clothes, ragged shoes. But this did not stop him from being the humanitarian that he was, the servant that he was. He would help those around him. Years later, he was discovered by a journalist, and it was brought to the attention of the world again. And shortly afterward, he was given the Nobel Peace Prize, because that's the kind of person he was. He lived out his final days in a hospice in Switzerland. And upon his death, they found a diary. And in the diary, it said, "I wish to be carried to my grave like a dog without a single one of your ceremonies. I am a disciple of Jesus as in the first century and nothing more." That's humility. But you can be humble and still be ambitious and serve Christ without being a wimp. It's about commitment. It's about confidence. We talked about confidence last week. It's about having strength of spirit. It's about trusting that Christ can work through you to bring others to Him. All we got to do is trust Him. Let Him lead us. Be willing to be servant leaders in the community. And I know we do a lot of things for the community, and that's great. But what we need to do is get people interested in Christ. What we need to do is bring people to Christ and to God. And if we can get somebody interested in Christ, even if they don't come to this church, we've still got a great thing for God. We have built God's kingdom. We should be working for the Master as servants, because service is what it's all about. And that's what will help us to grow the church. Like I mentioned at the beginning, if you read any of the different groups, organizations, their philosophy about how to revitalize the church, it's about getting out in the community. Fresh Expressions talks about going out and having dinner church, they call it. They don't do it in the church. They go to the people and provide them dinner. And they talk to them a little bit about Jesus. And it makes a big impression on these people. There are a lot of people that believe in God, believe in Jesus, but won't step into a church because they don't believe in organized religion. But you can still take Christianity to the community by taking it to the people. John Wesley, that was his big thing. He did not like the pomp and circumstance of the church. He took church to the people. See All the People is another organization, and that's what they literally mean, see all the people. It means getting out in your community and seeing all the people, all the potential Christians that you can serve and bring into God's kingdom. They all have the same philosophy. They have a little bit different angle on it, but they all basically have the same philosophy. Stop trying to fix the church and get out and spread the gospel. Serve your community. Serve your brothers and sisters. And that will bring them to God. Because in doing so, they will see how loving and caring Christianity is, how merciful God is. And it's all about service and getting out into the community. Amen.